Good morning. Welcome in to the front porch. And yes, it's Monday again. Brother David Tucker and Brother Joe Barner across the way with us this morning. Good to have you gentlemen with us.
Good to be here.
It's good to be here.
And we got some hot days coming.
Yes.
And
we've put some behind us, but we're not done yet.
Not done yet. It's going to be warm today. 97.
Yes.
Whew, might I tell you.
And I think tomorrow was scheduled at one point on my phone at 100 degrees or more.
I would say every bit of it.
Yeah. And I'd say with heat index, we may get there.
Oh, yeah.
Even still.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, it's going to be warm. So take it easy. Be
that's
careful.
Right. Hydrate, okay. Hydrate, and lots of sweet tea.
That's not good. That's not good. Not a lot of sweet tea. It's kind of like drinking lemonade, you know. I love lemonade, but, you know, it seems like every time you drink lemonade, it just makes you more thirsty.
I suppose. I've never thought about it.
Never thought about it? Mm-mm. Oh, yeah, it will. It'll make you more thirsty.
See, when I have sweet tea, I like to mix lemonade into it. So.
Oh, that sounds good.
Oh, yeah. No, that's good stuff, brother.
Now, something my mom likes to do is she goes outside, she has some mint, and she puts some mint
in the tea.
I tell you what, you're talking about good.
Yeah.
That's really good.
I really believe sweet tea's in heaven.
Oh, yeah. Gotta be.
I think it's one of God's truly gifted gifts.
It's so good. It's so good.
Absolutely.
Now go get you a glass of tea.
That's it. Well, actually, today we're going to have an unusual topic. We're going to talk about the currency of God. And we're going to dive into what it is that God spends and what it is that... we save. And so as we get into that, I don't know if you've got some good financial music for us there, Brian, but I'm going to turn it over to you.
I don't know if Rand Collective would be or not, but...
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's Word in 60 Seconds. The Bible says in Colossians 1:16, "For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him." A young boy traveling by airplane to visit his grandparents sat beside a man who happened to be a seminary professor. The boy was reading a Sunday school take-home paper when the professor thought he'd have some fun with the young man. Young man said to the professor, "If you can tell me something God can do, I'll give you a big, shiny apple." The boy thought for a moment and then replied, "Mister, if you can tell me something God can't do, I'll give you a whole barrel of apples." God can do anything. Trust Him. I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's Word in 60 Seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
It taps me into what I need to hear for spiritual growth and keeps me on the right path and just feeds my soul.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
Missionary radio. And welcome back to the front porch.
So we're going to talk today about the currency of God, but before we do that, I want to start by getting an understanding of what currency is. So when I say the word currency, what's the image that pops into your mind, guys?
That paper stuff I carry around in my wallet.
It's folding money.
That's what I was going to say, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, no, nobody talks pocket change anymore.
But that's not very popular anymore. It's the plastic that makes it, you know.
This is true.
So.
And so when we talk about currency, we have an image that usually comes to mind, whether it's a coin or a dollar bill or a card, there is an image that comes out. And in the news, in our culture, in our nation, and in economics, when they talk about currency, they will usually talk about it in terms of the dollar. What's the strength of the dollar? What's the weakness of the dollar? Mm-hmm. And so everything is boiled down to a dollar, you know. It doesn't matter what it is you're doing. You're going to be handling dollars in some way, shape, or form when you're dealing with currency. And it's interesting to me that when you talk about this, how many areas of life this enters into. It's like everything that you do as an individual consists of dollars. Mm-hmm. You say, no. The best things in life are free. Ain't nothing free. your health, you know, you'll pay for that.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Your clothing, you'll pay for that. Your food, mm-hmm. you'll pay for that. It doesn't matter whether you're buying a multi-million dollar company or you're taking your girl out to McDonald's for a Big Mac. the dollar is still going to be exchanged.
Yes.
Now, the amounts may change,
mm-hmm.
but in truth, it's always down to that basic currency, the dollar or, you know, the coin. And it can take a variety of shapes. Mm-hmm. So you can talk about stocks and bonds, which don't look like dollars at all, or mm-hmm. you can talk about Bitcoin, which they say don't have dollars attached, and yet they tell you Bitcoin is worth, well, so many dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Everything boils back down. No matter what form it takes, it boils back down to that base. And the other piece to that is that the dollar used to be backed by an element. What was the element the dollar was backed by?
Gold.
Gold. We were the gold standard. Now, Brian's too young. He doesn't remember this time. But there was a time in our country when every dollar that you had said that it was a representative of gold that was being held in Fort Knox.
Mm-hmm.
And so because within our nation, within the borders of our nation, we had this gold, then the dollars had value. It was a part of the nature of our country.
Mm-hmm.
We got gold in that country. That dollar now has value to be spent elsewhere. So when we're talking currency, we're talking about a very base level concept that is a way that we communicate. You can't do anything in this world without a dollar in process. And that communication economically is literally universal. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter whether you're good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, guys who are in gangs dealing dollars.
Mm-hmm.
The police dealing dollars.
Mm-hmm.
So it really doesn't matter whether you're inside or outside, we would say, of the right group. The dollar is still a point. So if currency is that ubiquitous, I mean that common, and is basic to everything that we do, what would be the currency of God? What's the most basic currency? What's the dollar that God trades in? So if you were to say, well, I think God trades in this. This is the most basic elemental thing that God trades in. What would you say it is?
Moment of silence.
Yeah, I think you've stumped me on that one.
Okay, so remember the first thing is that the dollar is backed by something within the nation, or at least it used to be. That's what gave the dollar its value, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it has to be a part of the nature of the nation in which you're doing your economic work. That currency has to be backed by something that's in the nature of that nation. Well, we know from Scripture that quite literally, the thing that is the nature of God, the most basic principle and nature of God, is love.
Okay.
So, Joe, if you would, over in 1 John chapter 4, would you read for me verse 16?
And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them.
So in this simple verse, and there's more to this passage, and we'll be getting into that, but in this simple verse, in this passage, there's a definitive statement. It's a three-word statement.
God is love.
God is love. Now, definitive statements are not theological projections or ideas. They are not systematic concepts. A definitive statement is simply the fact.
Mm-hmm.
There is no quarreling or trying to work your way around it. Oh, this is just symbolic. No, it's definitive. There's a definition being applied. There is God, and the definition of God is love.
Mm-hmm.
In God's nature, love is so powerfully present that there is nothing that God touches that love doesn't exude from, because mm-hmm. it's who he is.
Yes.
It's in his nature. Well, with that understanding then, we begin to get a grasp of a lot of things, because that means that everything that God does, the currency that he's going to engage with,
mm-hmm.
is going to be love. I've done this twice before. I did it once at a homeless ministry shelter that we did a devotion, and another time in a Sunday school class, folks in very different cultures and situations. But it's really interesting to ask, what do you think the currency of God is? And I've heard a lot of different answers. Faith, right? Salvation, souls, forgiveness, lots of different concepts and ideas. Mm-hmm. But if you think of all of that as the stocks and bonds, the coins or folded money, the Bitcoin, it's the variations mm-hmm. that all come from that single currency. If you want to talk about faith, well, the reason that we have faith in God and he can show us his good faith is because of his love for us. Mm-hmm. You want to talk about he always is working within the souls of men. True. Mm-hmm. But what motivates him to do so? Mm-hmm. It's love.
Amen.
But, well, it's salvation. He works in salvation. Mm-hmm. Why was salvation given? Love.
Yes.
Everything that God does is actually based from love. Mm-hmm. It is literally definitive to who he is.
Yes.
So now I've got another question for y'all.
We didn't do so well on the last thing, Brian.
Let's see if
everything that God does is based out of love, then why hell? And radio silence is not supposed to be good.
No. I know he loves us, but we choose our own destiny.
Okay.
You know, if we choose to live for him, if we choose not to live for him.
Right.
I mean, that's not really, I guess, his decision. That's our decision, which one we want, who we want to live for.
Right.
And if you don't live for him, then you're destined for hell. I mean, that's just, though he does love us. And he don't want to see us go there.
Right.
And he provided a way to avoid it through his son Jesus shedding his blood on the cross, which the ultimate expression of his love.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And in truth, hell is the removal of God, correct?
Yes.
It's the removal of his grace. It's the removal of his salvation. It's mm-hmm. the removal of his, well, action upon us, yes. which is always love.
Yes.
For an individual who's chosen and said, but I don't want the love of God.
Yeah.
I want to follow my path. I mm-hmm. want to do my thing. I want to pursue my dream. I don't want God intervening in my life.
Mm-hmm.
In Romans chapter 1, we read very often that where the sinfulness of man is engaged, the scripture says, and the phrase is constant through chapter 1, God gave them over. God says,
that's the way you want it?
There you go.
Okay.
In love, he actually allows for the freedom of choice mm-hmm. and the opportunity for mankind to choose his own destiny, to become his own person.
Yeah.
And that's a loving process mm-hmm. of giving somebody the freedom to do that. When you think about it, within the church realm, mm-hmm. we were talking about it, 2 weeks ago, where we're trying to point out the problem to a friend. And the friend doesn't want to listen to us, right? And then so we bring a witness, and the witness doesn't help us. We still aren't getting there. And so it says, then treat them like a pagan or a tax collector. In other words, put distance between you and them.
Yeah.
Let them go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that sounds unloving.
Yeah.
But in truth, that's the choice that the individual's making. I don't want to be in harmony with the people. I want to do my thing.
Yeah.
Then, brother, do your thing. No animosity. No anger. You get to go and do what you're going to do, and we release that.
Mm-hmm.
We release that. That's still an act of love because we're allowing for the choice of that individual.
Yes.
And so when we're talking about the currency of God, it is love because everything, even hell, the absence of love, which becomes full wrath, is a choice of mankind that God lovingly allows us to choose.
Yes.
And so it's hard to think of hell as a loving act,
mm-hmm.
but it's God saying, I let you go. You can do what you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
I won't stop you.
Yeah.
And that's unbelievably loving for a God who could one, annihilate you.
Sure.
Could actually cause you and force you to turn to him.
Mm-hmm.
But he won't.
Mm-mm.
He allows mankind's nature to come to its fullness.
Yes.
So all things are based in love when you're talking about God. So now I want to have just a few loving words from folks who have written in. Let's have Pen from the Heart.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it."
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
Dear Missionary Radio friends, thank you for great Christian radio programs. They refresh my Christian faith every day. May God bless this much-needed radio station, yours in Christ, a Clarksville listener. From Murray, God bless you all and your work. And from a Hopkinsville listener, God bless you all and thank you for your faithful ministry 24/7 around the world. We all need Jesus.
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and Penned from the Heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
So we're talking about the currency of God. What's the currency in which God operates?
It's love.
There you go.
Love. We got it now.
These guys have got the answer. They have got the answer. That's right. And when we talk about currency, we're talking about a baseline thing, like we talk about the strength of the dollar in economic currency. When spiritual currency is being applied, that means all spiritual transactions that are engaged are based on this currency. And for God, that currency is love. Joe, if you would, I would ask you to read 1 John chapter 4, verse 7.
Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God.
So when John is writing here in 1 John, his statement is not just definitive like we talked about in the first section, God is love, but he also says that love comes from God and all that are connected to God are going to act in his currency.
Mm-hmm.
So if you come to the U.S. and you try to use ruples to go buy something, you're not going to be able to get what you need.
Mm-mm.
Because ruples are not the currency that is utilized within the nation. You can't use the yen. It's not the currency that's used in the nation. I've had people turn down my Canadian coins. You know, you ever had Canadian dimes and nickels and things like that? And they say, well, I can't take that. It's Canadian. I'm like, I did. Why can't you?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Well, because that's not the currency that we utilize. So quite literally, anything that's working in the spiritual realm either works from the application of love or the removal of love. That's the currency of spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're talking about the demonic process, that's the removal of love. It's the most unloving process in the world. It's the removal of that which is all good. And then everything that is of God, well, that's the application of love into those areas. And here's the interesting thing. Because it is ubiquitous, in other words, universal, it doesn't matter whether you're inside or outside the church.
Mm-hmm.
Every act spiritually that has a positive impact is going to be an act of love, because that's literally the spiritual currency of our Creator. There's a couple of reasons for this. One, because God is our Creator, a part of the Creator is in the creation.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at Van Gogh paintings, you know it's a Van Gogh painting because a part of who he is placed into every painting that he does. Okay? He has a particular style and way, because that's who he is.
Yeah.
Well, the scripture says God is love. So all of those that are connected to that creator, and that's both good and bad, all mm-hmm. creation is his. Mm-hmm. They all have that love nature that has been placed within them. We all have something that's given to us that is a love nature. And that means also that God's currency with all people is also the same. So we just read in 1 John about all those who act in love or, you know, working in God in some way, shape, or form. The question is, does God's love apply even outside the church? Because we always talk about, well, you know, inside the church, people love one another. But outside the church, you don't know if there's love or not. Oh, yeah. No, there's always love. Because God's love is applied outside the church as well. And mm-hmm. you guys don't even have to go to the passage. All I have to do is say the reference, John 3:16.
God so loved the world.
That's exactly right. And the world is universal, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not church or not church. It's not inside the church or outside the church. It's just the world. And that means that God's love is actually applied to every individual. It doesn't matter whether you are a believer or a non-believer. You can be the best deacon and teacher, or you can be the worst reprobate and criminal. God's love is still applied.
Mm-hmm.
God has applied this love to all of creation. So quite literally, because it's in the nature of our Creator, and because He has applied this love universally, all spirituality, that's true spirituality,
mm-hmm.
is acted through the currency of love. One of the things that I've always found really difficult is folks that are of a different faith, say they're Islamic or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I say, how in the world do you engage in some of the things that you engage in? How in the world do you believe some of the things that you believe?
Mm-hmm.
Well, in all honesty, every time that I've dug into it with an individual, not in a broad brush process,
mm-hmm.
but talking to each individual, what you'll find is, well, I love this person, or this person who loves me poured into me.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a personal connection usually somewhere mm-hmm. that draws this person into this belief or faith system. Mm-hmm. When I worked in Utah, I worked with a lot of folks who were Mormon, clearly. And Mormon theology is not good biblical theology. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can look at Scripture and see where it veers off.
Yeah.
It redefines God. It redefines Christ. It does all these things. Joseph Smith's prophecies were literal heresies, and it's wrong. And yet I met such loving people.
Sure.
Well, they're working in the same currency that I am,
mm-hmm.
which is the love of God that's been placed into creation itself. So the currency is the same, but the source makes all the difference in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So God loved the world. Everybody experiences His love.
Mm-hmm.
And God has placed love in us. All creation has some element of love within it. That currency buys us a lot. But within the church, that currency becomes exceptionally powerful. When you understand the love of God as salvific love,
mm-hmm.
grace-filled love, forgiving love, and I think, Joe, you mentioned off air, the blood, right?
Mm-hmm.
The blood of Christ. When we understand the blood of Christ is literally the flowing of the love of God into our world.
Well, that was the message of the John 3:16 that you referred to,
mm-hmm.
that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him
that's right.
should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the purpose of His blood shed for us. 1 John 3:16 has a similar message to it. This is how we know what love is. Jesus laid down His life for us,
mm-hmm.
and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters.
There you go. And so when we tap into that, it's more than just the creative that's in us. It's not the human love that's been placed into humanity itself. It is tapping into the Fort Knox of God. You've hit the gold standard. And when you recognize that, when you see that, you can't help but begin to share that with others. The love that he shows on the cross outshines, just by sheer volume and weight, everything else that we ever imagine is a picture of love within our world. Mm-hmm. I mean, Joe, you have a cat named Biscuit.
Yeah.
Who loves you, right?
Yes, she does.
Yes, she does.
So.
You think so?
Once I fill up her bowl.
And then you feel the love, right?
So
clean
Biscuit,
out the litter box.
Biscuit and... loves you. Biscuit loves you, but with parameters, right? There's a capacity for love within Biscuit. I have a cat that my daughter got named Tiger, and I love the cat, sort of. And the cat sort of loves me. But it's not nearly the same concept as what God shows on the cross.
Oh, no.
It's the same currency, dollar for dollar, right?
Yeah.
But it's not the same when you begin to see what the love is on the cross versus the love that we think of as, man, that's a loving act. There isn't anything that shines like the gold of the cross.
Man.
That currency outshines and outstrips everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we're talking about the currency of God being love, I want to make people understand that, yes, everyone has the capacity to spiritually engage the love that God has created into humanity. But you don't understand the power, the sheer volume and overwhelming sense of love that God gives until you understand the cross. And when you understand that, it should literally change the way that you handle love, the currency of God, from that point forevermore. Now, we'll dig into that after we hear some loving words from Johnny Erickson Tata.
Johnny, we are celebrating a huge milestone today.
Yes, we are, Shauna.
And did you have any idea way back when that we'd be here today? I mean, this milestone is since 1991, when family retreats were just getting started. And now here we are, marking the 35th anniversary of such an amazing outreach.
Absolutely, Shauna. And even back in the early 90s, we were fully committed to welcoming absolutely any family that was struggling with a disability, no matter how challenging that disability was. And gee, let's see, often it meant building extra ramps at the conference center where family retreat was being held. I recall when one family arrived with their son who had multiple disabilities and 5 siblings. We wanted to accommodate their needs and make them feel welcomed. So we rented a specialized hospital bed for their son, including extra battery power for oxygen equipment. You know, sometimes serving a family at retreat has meant dedicating 3 young, strong, strapping college-age volunteers to keep up with, a teenager who has autism and nonstop energy. And for 35 years, our family retreats have served countless moms and dads, kids with disabilities, brothers and sisters, couples with a wheelchair, and more. Thousands have found true community and faith in Jesus Christ, like David and Heather Smith and their children, Abby Sullivan and Leon. Their first retreat was years ago, and it was life-changing. Their little son, Leon, has autism and other related disabilities, and he can be quite a handful. But at family retreat, Leon found friends. He discovered that Jesus loved him, and this thrilled David and Heather. Their other kids, Abby and Sullivan, also have disabilities, but family retreat gave even them such big hearts for serving God by helping others. And this really choked me up. I mean, family retreat was for the Smiths a life-altering experience. And so, this summer, when we marked 35 years of family retreats, Heather surprised me with a beautiful present. She made an awesome, wonderful quilt. What a creative and visionary way of celebrating 35 years. Heather collected as many family retreat T-shirts with themes on the front, like Hope Overflowing, one year it was Press On, Believe the Impossible, and more. Anyway, she stitched them all together and made this wonderful quilt. And when she mailed it, and I then opened up this huge box, a flood of heartfelt happy memories overwhelmed me as my eyes traced all the years and all the different T-shirts and themes throughout 3.5 decades. I mean, this quilt is a treasure that we will definitely display here at Johnny and Friends. David and Heather Smith got so involved with our ministry that David is now our regional director of our ministry in the Midwest. And because of Leon and his siblings, my friend David fits perfectly in this leadership role. Like 1 Timothy chapter 1 says, I thank Jesus that he appointed you to his service. And so Heather, if you're listening, thank you for serving Jesus. Thank you for the love that you stitched into every square of this quilt. God bless you for the time, your labor, and the way you have delighted in family retreats. I'm so grateful for the ingenious way you've helped Johnny and Friends celebrate 35 years of hundreds of retreats.
And hey, friend, if you'd like to see a photo of this amazing quilt, just take a look at johnnyradio.org.
Missionary Radio, in partnership with TWR.
I like the fact that you got a band named Ledger.
Yeah.
As we're talking about currencies.
Mm.
It seems very financially responsible of you.
Yeah, really?
Well, I think it's actually the singer is Ledger.
Oh, really?
And she is with the band Skillet.
Okay.
Okay, well, now I'm just hungry.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Fried eggs and bacon and
there you
stuff
go.
Sounds pretty good. Yeah.
Don't go down that road too far, brother. So we've been talking about the currency of God, and the currency of God is love. And a few things that we have discovered in that process is because it's the currency of God, it is also the currency of all spirituality of mankind. Now, with that currency being love, it's universal. It's both inside and outside the church.
Mm-hmm.
However, the fact that once you step into the church to see the true nature of God, mm-hmm. it like opens up Fort Knox as far as the opportunity for love to be able to be utilized as currency in your life. One of the passages that we're going to talk about is over in 1 John or John 15. In verses 16 and 17. Do you have that one for me, brother?
I do. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other.
So Jesus states, whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you, correct?
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like a blank check, right?
Yeah,
and,
sure.
And we like that idea.
Oh, yeah.
Well, God, you know, our church sure could use a new church bus,
mm-hmm.
right? We sure could use some new church pews. We're actually looking at an expansion on our campus, and we sure could use, you know, some steel and some brick.
Yeah.
That's not at all, if you look at the context of what he says.
Mm-hmm.
He says, here's what I'm telling you God offers, anything in my name. He'll give it to you. And here's my command. Love one another.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you think he wants you to write the check? What currency do you think he wants you to be operating in as you ask God for anything?
I'd say write that check in love.
That's exactly right. What he's saying there, and it's the simplest of all terms, is you can ask God for anything. And what you're going to ask him for is capacity for love.
Amen.
You're going to ask him to grow your capacity for love, show you opportunities to give love, to be able to display that love that you have for one another. This is commanded. This is expectation. God's going to give you anything you ask for. So ask for this.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you're engaged in this. Don't, and this is where I think in the church, we always relegate things into sections. We read the thing about you can ask anything in my name, and he will give it to you. And then we just disconnect it completely
mm-hmm.
from this other verse. And we say, well, you know, God is a God of miracles. He will provide. Yes, but He wants to provide more than anything else, your capacity to give and receive love to others.
Mm-hmm.
He honestly doesn't need your buildings. He doesn't need your church buses. He doesn't need you to have the nicest house. He doesn't need you to have a car that runs. What He needs is for you to be able to show and receive love.
Mm-hmm.
Because in truth, and He states this, that the world will know that you're My church, you're My disciples, if you do one thing. And what is that?
Love one another.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
That's the currency. We spend so much in the wrong currency. We're constantly working in ruples when God's in dollars.
Mm-hmm.
We are constantly working in the concept of, spiritual power or spiritual wisdom or spiritual this, that, or the other.
Mm-hmm.
When God is all about love. I mean, 1 Corinthians 13, entire chapter. He says, if I can do this and I can do this, and He actually speaks and says, if I can speak in tongues, right?
Mm-hmm.
If I can prophesy and have the wisdom of, you know, the Almighty, it's still nothing if I don't have His love. If we don't have that currency, it's not spirituality. And therein lies the problem with the church. We get wrapped up in every kind of purchase we can imagine, but we don't work in the currency of love, not like He intended. And so, as we've been discussing this, I hope, if nothing else, you will begin to understand, as a believer, you've been given a Fort Knox of love. And if you're not using that, you're not spending that, then you aren't operating in the currency of God. You're not operating in the kingdom. One of the things that He demands of us is that that love gets passed on to others. I can't outspend Him. You know, and people talk about this all the time in the tithe, right? You can't outgive God, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's not about money.
Mm-hmm.
You can't outspend Him in the love that He's already given you.
Mm-hmm.
If you give all that you have in love with someone, He will give you more love to give to another individual.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Your pocket will never run dry.
Amen.
You will always have what you need to give in love. Now, with that said, there's a danger, and I want to touch on this before we close today, and that's the danger of we confuse love and trust. So, a lot of times as believers, and I asked the question both times in the Bible study, I did twice before coming here today, is, so if I'm supposed to love everybody, does that mean that I guess I have to trust everyone? So what do you guys think? Is that accurate,
scripturally? I would say probably not.
Okay. That's a strong maybe from Brian.
I'm going to say not, because, you know, you can't trust everybody.
But should you?
But I don't know. I mean.
There you go.
I think, in a sense, trust.
But I know you're going to tell me, so.
Well, I'm curious about how you're processing all of this.
Trust is often earned.
Yes.
I'm thinking of a marriage relationship where one of the spouses has been illegal. I mean, not illegal, but.
It's possible.
Where there was
unworthy,
an affair.
Yes.
Yes.
And the love is still there.
Right.
But the trust is awfully hard to get back.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's exactly right. So the question is, I know it's a reality. That's the way we live. But is it scriptural? Biblically, are we commanded to trust? We are commanded to love.
Mm-hmm.
But are we commanded to trust? Does that correlation naturally flow? And the truth is no. Scripturally, it does not. Over in John, in chapter 2, there in chapter 2, verse 24, the scripture shows Jesus having come into the temple courts, right? Joe, if you would, just read verse 24 for me.
But Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all people.
That phrase, in verse 23, it talks about the fact that many believed in him because mm-hmm. they saw miracles.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus says, all right, so you're trusting me, but I don't trust you. The Greek term that's used there is pistuo, and it means to entrust or believe. And mm-hmm. he says, you're believing in me, that's fine, but I don't believe in you yet
mm-hmm.
because I know your hearts.
Mm-hmm.
So in the Scripture, when we say, well, what's biblically required? Love is required. Christ is literally the embodiment of love because, again, that's the currency of God.
Sure.
Who is Christ? Christ is love, as God is love. And what he'll do is an act of love on the cross, and it's the victory of love in the resurrection. It's the currency of love all the way through. There is nobody more loving than Christ. So did he love them? Yes. He loved them with all his heart.
Mm-hmm.
But could he trust them? No.
Because they were in it. They were believing in him for what they could get out of it.
That's right. So love can lead to trust, but love does not require trust. My calling is to love everybody that I meet,
yes,
but not trust everybody that I see.
Mm-hmm.
And I can allow trust to be earned or grown, but love, well, that's not a question.
Mm-hmm.
Do I love you? I do. Why? Because I work in the currency of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have been so loved, I must love others. It's not an option. It's not a possibility. It's a command. And so today, wherever you're at, as you're going into work or going into school or wherever you're headed, understand you don't have an option as a believer. You've got to love the people that you meet. But should you trust them? Well, let them earn that trust. God honors that. But he'll give you the love to share with them.
Amen. Thanks for listening to The Front Porch here on Missionary Radio, and join us again tomorrow morning at 7 a.m.